I want to take as a text. I'm sorry, is this, am I causing this? Is it my tie causing it? Who's in charge of the... Is it all right? Thank you. If it does, I'll take the tie off. So I don't mind. I don't like wearing ties, really. I know some people like a text. I don't always take one. But I would like to take one this morning. It's from the book of Numbers, chapter 9, and the first part of verse 23. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out. I've called it for the purposes, for my own purposes really, and I'm not quite sure how the title will fit. You can decide for yourselves afterwards. I've called it Active Stillness. Active Stillness. A bit of a paradox there. But maybe the paradox will become a little bit clearer as we go through the service. And I think that getting the balance right in our Christian lives is never easy. Once we've become Christians and believe in the power of God in our own lives, getting the right balance between spending time with God alone and with others within the church and actively working in the world, that balance is a constant struggle. It is for me as to know how to get that balance right. You know, on the one hand, we have the words of Jesus in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 6, where he says, when you pray, go off into a quiet place. And we'll come back to that a little bit more in a moment. But go off into a quiet place and spend time alone with your Heavenly Father. And on the other hand, we're equally encouraged in Scripture to go and be active, to be doers of the word. James puts it most clearly, I suppose, and most succinctly and perhaps most challengingly in James chapter 2 and verses 14 to 17. James writes this: what good is it, my brothers, and I'll add and sisters, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. So what is the right balance between private, quiet times and being active in working at our faith in the world? I do believe that both are needed if we are to develop our relationship with God and if we are to develop our spirituality, which is what I think you've been looking at or are looking at in your series of services over these few weeks. On the one hand, we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly use. But equally, unless we spend time in prayer and studying God's word, how are we to know what earthly use God wants us to be? Down through the ages, there have been those who have tipped the scales in one direction or another, sometimes causing divisions in the body of Christ. Some have tried to take the church down a path that involved doing at the expense of praying or studying, as long as the church was active. I was a little bit concerned the other day when Michael rang me up, because Michael and Esther and I have been in touch with each other about this service, but he said, oh, I was at your church the other day, because we worship at Histon Baptist, and he says, my word, it is a busy church, isn't it? He said, there were people coming and going the whole time. Well, a church isn't measured simply by its busyness. You could look at the church at Sardis in the book of Revelation in chapter 3, where the angel writing to the church says, I know you look as if you're busy, but there's nothing actually going on. It's like a house having lots of scaffolding up outside, but actually nobody doing any work. Looks as if it's being built, looks as if things are happening, but nothing going on behind the scaffolding. And still others have virtually neglected the doing in favor of virtually becoming a holy huddle. They're regular in worship, and prayer, and Bible study, but they do little when it comes to working out their faith in the world. Or when it comes to a job, beg your pardon, I think I did that last time, or a job that needs doing within the church. They're nowhere to be found. You know, have you ever been in a meeting where someone at the front has said, "We need a new church secretary"? And have you watched what happens to the heads? Don't make eye contact. I've been reading your notice sheet, by the way. But I'll come and pray. I'll read my Bible. But don't ask me to do anything. I remember hearing, and if I've told you this story before, I do apologise. My wife says I'm in danger of doing that. But my mother, who will be 94 in April, when I told her one day that she'd told me something before, she said, "Boy," she's Cornish, by the way, "Boy, you can't get to my age without repeating yourself a time or two." So I'm using that excuse as well. But the true story of a little church in the west of Cornwall who'd had a visit from the Cliff Mission team, from Cliff College. And during that time, a number of new people had come in. And these new people had stirred the small congregation up a little bit. And some of them weren't too happy. And at a meeting of the church leaders, 3 or 4 weeks after the mission was over, the minister of the church was saying, "Isn't it wonderful that we have these new people come into the church?" And the senior steward was heard to remark, "Yes, mister, but us like it best when 'tis only we." And you know, isn't there a danger with some people that they want to feel comfortable? We don't like to be stirred up and disturbed by new people coming in with new ideas. I've never really been new to a church until the last 18 months. And I can tell you, coming in from the outside into a new church isn't all... I told you I'd do that, didn't I? Can I leave it there? Thank you. You know a Frenchman can't speak without using his hands. Can't play rugby either. No, sorry. You know, coming into the church, I found more difficult than I'd expected. Yet we were welcomed. But if you have a different idea, you're almost afraid to voice it, because you know from the past how you've felt when new people have come into a church where you've been active. If we're to develop our own spirituality, we need to be hearers of the word, and then we need to put what we hear into practice. Look for a moment at the first reading from Numbers chapter 9, where we have the children of Israel on a journey from the land of slavery in Egypt to the promised land. Now, we believe from reading scripture and from biblical scholars, it was something like 2 million people. 2 million people on the move. Now, according to the 2001 census for Cambridge, that's about 20 times the number of people that live in Cambridge. You imagine, you know, you see these lorries going along with logistics on the side. I never quite know what that means. But you imagine the logistical problems that would cause moving 2 million people. And how were they controlled? They were controlled by the cloud over the tabernacle, the church in the desert. When the cloud lifted and moved, we're told, the people packed up and moved on. When it settled over the tabernacle, when it settled down, they stopped and camped. Did you hear in our reading how long it stayed? Sometimes it said it stayed for only one day. One day. Can you imagine? The crowd at the front, the tabernacle, the cloud has stopped and they stop. And they all start unpacking, setting up their tent, getting the food out, grazing the animals, seeing to everything, getting everything ready. Then the next morning they get up and the cloud starts to move. Oh, come on. What was that all about? And the people at the back have only just finished setting up camp, perhaps by the time the others are moving on with 2 million people on the move. Then at other times it said it stayed for as long as a year. As long as a year. And I can imagine some of them saying, oh, how much longer are we going to stay here? Oh, I'm fed up with it here. We need to move on. It's time to move. So what about us as individuals in the church? Are we feeling, perhaps, that we've been in one place long enough as an individual, maybe as a church, that it's time for us or our church to move on? Have we become frustrated by the fact that God doesn't seem to be moving? Nothing seems to be happening. We've been stuck here for a long time, and we don't seem to be getting anywhere in our lives as Christians or in our lives as a church. Have we then tried perhaps to move on ahead of God, believing that we know best and we know which is the best way for our church to go, and tried to take others with us? That's caused schisms and divisions within the church as well, when people have tried to move ahead of God because they thought they knew best. Or have we become so comfortable perhaps in our individual or church life that we'd like to stay where we are, thank you. We'd like it to stay as it is. We quite enjoy it. We're not too challenged. We've set up camp. We've become quite comfortable and we know people and we like the people here. I think Philip, the apostle, must have felt a bit like that. Quick look at Acts chapter 8. Listen to what was happening to the church in Samaria. You're not disturbing me if that's what you're worried. No, that's fine. In Acts chapter 8, verses 9 to 13. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. What a wonderful time Philip was having. Not only was he seeing people who were on the fringes coming to know Christ, but even people who had almost been actively against God coming to know them. Simon the sorcerer himself. "Surely this is the place for me to stay," says Philip. And what happens? God says, "Philip, leave Samaria and go to the desert." Oh, come on. It's wonderful here. Look what's happening, God. People are getting saved. They're coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And you want me to go to the desert? Now, we're not told that's what Philip said. I'm putting words that I would have probably said if I'd been Philip. And what happens when Philip gets into the desert? He meets the Ethiopian who is reading from the scriptures. And Philip talks to him about what the scriptures mean. And the Ethiopian is baptized. And the Ethiopian takes his faith back to his own country. When the Spirit of God said move, Philip moved. Despite the fact that where he was, wonderful things were happening. Maybe for us, as individuals or as a church, the cloud has moved and we've been left behind. For us to grow spiritually, we must look for the signs that tell us when to be still and when to move. Because when God says, be still, no amount of effort by the individual or by the church will make this church grow. Equally, when the command comes to move, no amount of prayer and Bible study will benefit us if we stay still. At the Lord's command, they moved. And at the Lord's command, they stayed. How do we know what God wants us to do? Well, we follow the example set by Jesus. We get alone with our Heavenly Father and we ask Him. It's a simple formula, but not an easy one. And sometimes the answer that we get is clouded by our own desires and our own emotions and our own wishes for what God wants, for what we want God to do. And maybe the testing occasionally might involve a fleece like Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon when he put out a fleece because he wasn't sure that's what he should be doing at all. He said, God, if the fleece is dry in the morning and the ground is wet, then I'll believe you. And it was. Poor old Gideon needed a bit more proof than that. He said, Lord, in the morning, if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, then I'll believe that you want me to fight these Midianites. And it was. And we're told that after that, Gideon didn't dare test God anymore. But sometimes, maybe, as long as we don't overdo fleeces, I think they can be overdone. But occasionally we need to say to God, if this is what you want me to do, then show me. Sometimes it means stepping out in faith, even when others can't understand what we're doing. And that can cause problems between Christians. So I encourage you, always step out in faith, in love, realizing that not everyone has necessarily been touched by God in the same way that you have. So where are we at the moment as individuals and as a church here at Cottenham? Has God asked us to turn aside and spend more time with Him? In our gospel reading, Jesus gave us the blueprint for that. I encourage you to read it again when you get home from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. The pattern set by Jesus. It was a pattern that He used frequently. We're in the third Sunday of Lent at the moment, and we remember that Jesus went off into the wilderness to spend the 40 days, which means a long time in scriptural terms, that's all. The 40 days in preparation for His ministry, alone with His Heavenly Father. And you can find plenty of other examples where we're told that Jesus spent time alone with God. Or is it time, or is God saying that it's now time for the church to get up and start to move? So often it's more comfortable to stay with the status quo, which can mean that the cloud has moved and we've been left behind. A young man heard the call to go to work in South America. He really believed it was God's call. It had been confirmed to him by others. And so selling up everything that he had, he moved to South America. Nothing happened. For 7 years, he worked in various low-paid jobs, getting to know the people, but nothing was happening with his ministry. When suddenly, at the end of that period, things opened up and his ministry took off. He looked back afterwards and he said, there were times within that 7 years when I said to God, why aren't you moving, God? Why is nothing happening? And he said, but as I've looked back, I can see that God was preparing me. I wouldn't have been ready. Although I needed to be here, I wouldn't have been ready for the ministry that eventually came. Can I encourage each of us this morning to watch for the cloud? when it settles, spend that time alone with God. But when it moves, be prepared to follow. At the Lord's command, they encamped. And at the Lord's command, they set out.